So this session is titled Counseling the New Believer, and the subtitle I've given this talk is The Joy and Privilege of Equipping. My goal for this session is to give you helpful principles and tools to keep in mind when you're counseling someone who is new to their faith. And I wanted to share on this topic because over the past several years, many of the ladies I've counseled have been very excited and willing to learn and apply God's word to their life, but they're often new in their faith and have struggled with catching up biblically and theologically, and then integrating that into what we're trying to talk about in the counseling room. So in this talk, I wanted to take everything that we've already learned about biblical counseling and the process that we've learned in other tracks and show ways to flesh it out specifically when counseling a new believer. So first, we'll look at the basics of our Christian faith and talk about some of those principles from even basic biblical counseling for how to handle a new believer specifically. Then I'll talk about how to incorporate some basic discipling principles into the counseling process, and then also some methods to teach a biblical worldview throughout a counseling case. And as we discuss this process, it's important to remember the joy it often is to be around a new believer. Most of the time, they're very excited to learn and apply God's word, and let that grow a spark of flame of joy in your own life, too, as the counselor. They often recognize the hard way that they were living and just came out of, and they get to learn now how to apply all the beautiful truths of Scripture to their life and the beauty of standing in God's grace as they do it. So it's great to be a part of that. But it's also important to realize that not every new believer is the same. So here's some just different types of new believers that you might counsel. First, those who have a fairly stable lifestyle who are not coming to you in crisis mode. Maybe she just recently became a believer and has a simple testimony of hearing the gospel and giving her life over to the Lord. Second, there might be those who are new to their faith and became a believer out of crisis. This could be someone who cried out to the Lord out of some damaging or traumatic incident like divorce or addiction. So that horrible event is what helped her see her need for a Savior. And then third, a new believer could just be someone who is immature in their faith. Maybe she's been going to church for a while, claiming to know the Lord, but a biblical foundation just isn't there. So no matter what type of new believer you might encounter, we should still remember that we can't expect culture to be teaching anything about the basics of the Christian faith, about family, marriage, work, or anything from a biblical perspective. So when counseling a new believer, we have to remember not to assume that we know anything about what she believes, knows, or understands, even if she's claiming to be a Christian. And it's also important to remember that while you might not have arrived at completed sanctification yet either, you have a lot of experience in your own faith journey that you get to share with the counselee. So be excited to share your biblical knowledge, especially in the counseling process. It's a joy to come alongside these counselees. So with those basic reminders in mind, I want us now to jump into the back to the basics of biblical counseling and the Christian faith, and how to use those principles as guides for counseling a new believer. And to start, I want to talk through a simple but important principle, the process of progressive sanctification. It's often been said that the Christian life is a journey, but does your counselee understand what that means? Has she been instructed on the fact that spiritual growth will continue to happen the rest of her life? As a new believer coming to counseling with different struggles or issues, understanding the process of growing in Christ-likeness will be critical. Does she understand that salvation is not just a one-and-done deal? And what I mean is, does she know that she's going to daily, moment by moment, have to fight the sin of this world and choose to walk in the Spirit in her relationship with the Lord? Help her recognize the fact that she's going to keep fighting sin and she's going to keep growing. And make sure, especially, that she doesn't think all she needs is to be saved and then she's good with God. A lot of people think that. I've encountered a lot of ladies in the counseling room who think everything is fine in how they view the Bible and view the world. Teach her that Scripture talks about this process of sanctification and the difference between that and her initial justification by faith in Christ. A few verses that you could go to, and they are not in your notes, I don't think, but they might be, is Hebrews 10:14, which says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." And 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Or Philippians 2, 12 through 13, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." We need to emphasize that ending fact right there, the fact that it's the Holy Spirit who is helping us grow in sanctification to become more like Christ. And how reassuring is that to someone who's new to their faith? They're not alone. It's not up to them. And it's important that we teach a counselee that the more she continues to grow in knowing God, the more we'll be able to lean into him and to his word for help and guidance in our life. So it's important to grow in knowing God, because to know him is to love him, and to love him is to trust him, and then to trust him is to obey him. Understanding this helps protect us from just legalism or even lacking motivation for growing in Christlikeness. And where does this come from? Well, I think we see the call to start with first knowing God more from his word before we can tackle any other issue in life all throughout Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." As we seek to grow in the knowledge of God, we are exposed more to the beauty of who he is and what it means to grow to be more like our Savior. And that knowledge then produces in us a love for God, as the Holy Spirit helps us understand what that knowledge means for our lives. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And then as we grow in our love for God, the only thing that can truly fill our hearts, we grow in our trust in him as well. And just like in our human relationships, trust is something that has to be grown or earned. We don't just automatically trust someone. But the more we know and love someone, the more we trust them. So by the work of the Spirit in our hearts, as we grow in our knowledge and love for God, the more we come to trust him and seek after his ways. Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." And as our hearts trust God more and more, the more we will seek to obey him, because we believe his ways are good and best for us. As we know God more, love him more, and trust him more, obeying his commands will come more easily. We'll start to desire to please God and to say no more to sin. Jesus himself taught this, that obedience reflects a truly changed heart. He says this in John 14, verses 15, 21, 23, and 24. "If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." And in 1 John 2, 3 through 6, we read, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." So this process of sanctification is the growth in our faith that makes us more like Christ. Our knowledge and love for God should produce in us a trust and a desire to obey him. So encourage your counselee with these truths and these verses. Help her see the beauty of this faith journey and how it's okay to not feel all of these things right away. Pray with her that the Holy Spirit would grow her in these aspects of her faith. Our faith is not just a stagnant moment of accepting Christ as our Savior. As we grow, there should be signs of life, of change in our hearts, our minds, and actions. So the Christian's life should produce evidence that it's been changed. And I encourage you to really focus on helping a counselee who's new to faith understand